Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, construction begins on a high-speed rail service linking Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And food delivery to hotels is putting room service in jeopardy at many properties. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
9 international airlines allow you to stop over in their countries for free while traveling. We'll tell you more about this great travel deal in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
I've spent the last week on the other side of the continent in Newfoundland. At 11:35, we'll introduce tourism folks from The Rock, as they call the island, to give you a little background on this very faraway place.
Then at 11:50, Mark will share his personal tips for a visit, where to stay and what to do around St. John's, the provincial capital.
All the way from Newfoundland, truly one of the coolest places in North America. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hello there, hello there. Welcome again to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for being there. Don't forget you can follow along, get links to our special guests and so much more, always at TravelGuysRadio.com. And again, here we go. Tom's in studio and Mark is so far away, so far away.
Still in Canada.
He's still in Canada.
Still in Canada.
You know, we've learned so much this week, Mark, with you there and little interviews we've done with folks, which will be exposed here on this radio show. In fact, even how to pronounce the word Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
How'd
you
I
got
do?
It there.
How'd I do?
You did very well. It took us 3 days to learn. And last night we were screeched in at a screech-in ceremony, which is something that happens here in Newfoundland. And I will tell you a little bit about that in the last segment of the show. If you have never traveled to this part of the continent, Newfoundland is an area about the size of Texas, and it's off the Canadian East Coast. And so it's a big island. And it is just, I've wanted to come here for years. And, you know, sometimes you wait to go places and you get there and they don't quite live up to your expectations. But this has been just an incredible experience. The folks here are so nice and so wonderful. And this is like, Tom, this we're only 4.5 hours from London here.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of London and Irish and Scottish culture here. And it's the people are so amazing. There isn't a tip jar in every, you know, on every countertop. The people are friendly. Heck, even the Canadian equivalent of TSA guys were just incredibly nice to me as I bungled my way through security. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on in the program, but it has been just a really wonderful experience here in Canada. I can't tell you how much I recommend a visit to Newfoundland.
Well, I have so many questions, but I won't ask them now. I'll wait till we get into the segment where we concentrate on that a little bit later on in the show. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, though, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition, here's Mark.
In the travel news, would you believe, Tom, San Francisco's newest tourism attraction is robo-taxis. Driverless cars from Waymo is the only company left still to be operating commercial driverless taxis. But you can look all over the internet. They have become the rage. Waymo is offering rides through its app. There are waiting lists just to get the opportunity to be able to get a ride.
Wow.
So the waiting lists are not too long, it does say that the waiting list in San Francisco is shorter than the waiting list in Los Angeles. The writer of the article says it took them about a week to clear. So if you're headed to San Francisco and you're the slightest bit adventurous, perhaps you would like to try a driverless taxi. They are becoming all the rage all over the net. How about you, Tom? Would you ride in a driverless taxi?
Wow. You know, I don't know why. It does not appeal to me all that much. I find it fascinating. You know, I'm going to let others crash around for a while before I step into a driverless anything. You know, I have a car that's kind of that way and has some of those features, and occasionally I use some, you know, but I don't think so. How about you?
I don't know. I'm wavering. I'm wavering. I'm not sure I'd go down the freeway, but driving around at 30, 35 miles an hour, I might consider it. All right, here's some rail news. Amtrak has a brand new train. It's called the Borealis. It runs from Minnesota to Chicago. Started on Tuesday. Now, there is another Amtrak train that runs that route, the Empire Builder, which runs all the way to Seattle. But this, in essence, doubles the amount of service between Minneapolis and Chicago. So if you are interested in a train, you're in that part of the country and interested, you know, I mean, you go to the airport, you got to get there a couple hours early, the flight, the all that stuff. So this is 7 hours from Chicago to Minneapolis on a train. Another train story, construction on high-speed rail between Eastern Los Angeles and Las Vegas began this week. It's a 218-mile high-speed rail system. Will connect Los Angeles, or at least the outskirts of Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Its completion is scheduled in 2028, just in time for the Olympics. Do you think, I'm going to bet that they don't make the 2028. It's just, they said just in time for the Olympics. That's 4 years away. Just a guess that construction, yeah. You know, I mean, things, they've been building that high speed rail down in by Merced. What does it run between Merced and Madera?
Yeah, like that.
Ultimately, anyway, Singapore Airlines, you may have on a less light note, you may have read last week about how a Singapore Airlines plane made a dramatic drop in turbulence, flung people all over the place. One person died. A number of people were taken off the plane on stretchers and put in ambulances. This is really a huge reminder, folks, that when you're flying in an airplane, don't take your seatbelt off. There was no warning to this. They had just hit a couple of little rough bumps, and then this occurred. The people who did the worst in this were the people who were in the lavatories.
Wow.
And think about that. There's no way to belt yourself down in the lavatory, and you're facing a ceiling that slopes, that's not very far from you. So just the word of wisdom. Singapore Airlines came out later in the week, Tom, and said that they are no longer, they're making a policy change. When the fasten seatbelt sign goes on from now on, they are going to discontinue all service and sit their staff down. I guess I kind of wonder why that wasn't the rule already and why everybody else doesn't follow that too. But really and truly, if you expect us to fasten our seatbelts, then why would you not? Why would you have your staff roaming the aisles at the same time? So unfortunate for the folks that were on that Singapore Airlines flight, but it really does remind us that no matter how smooth it seems in the air, leave that seatbelt. If you loosen a little bit and it's a little looser fastened, you know, if you hit a bump, it'll keep you in your seat. And in this case, it might have been the difference between life and death. JetBlue, the story just keeps getting worse. JetBlue, as we reported their first quarter recently, lost $700 million. They're expecting another big loss in the current quarter. Their shares closed under $6 this week. Their on-time rating in February was dead last among major airlines and almost 10 points below the industry average. JetBlue was also the worst in canceled flights. The only reason I mention this, JetBlue has very little service into Sacramento. The overnight to New York, I just mentioned this because these are red flag signs from an airline that is struggling, really struggling. So if you're thinking about buying a ticket with JetBlue, do your homework. Just know that you're booking a ticket with an airline that is really struggling. Southwest Airlines is still dealing with the fallout from its 2022 holiday meltdown when it canceled more than 16,000 flights. The airline has agreed with the Transportation Department that travelers inconvenienced by future cancellations or long delays can receive a love voucher worth at least $75. Vouchers can be requested if a flight is canceled within 7 days of departure or arrives 3 or more hours behind schedule. Weather-related delays or cancellations do not qualify. Southwest will be required to report back to Transportation Department each of the next 3 years on these forms. So keep in mind, there'll be information on the Southwest website. But if you have a flight that's canceled within 7 days of departure or delayed 3 hours or more, you're eligible for this voucher. This has nothing to do with the recently passed passenger protections in the FAA reauthorization. So this is something separate. If you're a Southwest Airlines passenger, 3 hours or more, or a cancellation of a flight within 7 days of departure, they owe you a little bit of remuneration. Expedia Group has announced that they are launching several new products and updates, many built around its continued testing and development of artificial intelligence. Tom, we spent a week here at National Tour Association meetings in Newfoundland. One of our focuses was artificial intelligence. I have to tell you, my eyes have really been open. This is going to change all of our lives incredibly dramatically in the coming years. If it doesn't blow up the planet, it's going to be an amazing thing in a whole lots of areas, especially in travel. I'm going to get us a guest to be on the program and talk a little bit about this down the road so that we can inform our audience. There are already ways for travelers to be able to use artificial intelligence in building itineraries and doing their homework online. So Expedia is expanding its availability of artificial intelligence on its website. Folks, it's nothing to be afraid of. It can do some wonderful things for you. This is a hotel story, Tom. This is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Delivery apps are threatening the viability of room service. As food delivery apps are become more and more common, they're making so many deliveries to hotels that many hotels are finding that the demand for room service has fallen off dramatically. And of course, if you've only got 3 or 4 room service orders a night, then as a hotel, that's a lot of staffing and a lot of expense. Some hotels have started checking in. Customers are working out deals for discounts on food delivery apps. Some other hotels are doubling down and trying to do better on room service, offering some deals and things like that. So who would have thunk, but more people are having food delivered to the hotel because it's perhaps cheaper than hotel food and maybe a little bit more dependable. I found that to be kind of an interesting story.
For sure. You know, I've stayed, I had a long stay in San Antonio, and I would see food delivery quite frequently. Now, this hotel did not have room service delivery, so it makes more sense that you're going to see, you know, pizza places coming and walking the hallways. And I started thinking, you know, this at that time, this could cut into hotels that do have room service. And at any rate, I ran across one of the best pizzas ever by simply chatting with a guy who was delivering a pizza in Texas. So yeah, this is going to be eye-opening.
Yeah, and even for hotels that have restaurants, you know, on site that are open, in addition to the room service, if the hotel restaurant is expensive, it's $50 for dinner, and you know, you can get your favorite fast food delivered to the hotel for $15 or $20. Apparently, more and more people are making that choice. One last story here: the CEO of Frontier Airlines, a gentleman named Barry Biffle, says there is massive rampant abuse of special services like wheelchair assistance in airports. Now, remember, he runs an airline that counts every penny, but he says it costs his airline between $30 and $35 each time a customer requests a wheelchair, and he personally is tired of watching 15 people board a flight in wheelchairs only to find out that they only need 3 wheelchairs on the other end. He says this is wonderful that we're doing all this miracle medical work, but he says it's costing us a lot of money. And many people, he also points out that many people who need wheelchair service cannot get it or seriously delayed, in danger of missing their flights, especially in smaller airports, because of the fact that many people are requesting a wheelchair that perhaps don't need it. So I'm not here to make a decision for you whether or not you need a wheelchair in an airport, but just realize that if it's a small airport and you've gotten there in plenty of time, and you're able to walk to the gate, that you might be preserving the wheelchair assistance for somebody else. And that is your travel news for today.
Hey, before we go to a break, a couple of words about Rudy's Hideaway. I'd like to remind you that, you know, if you're looking for lobster, it's getting harder and harder to find. There's so many restaurants that are closing. But Rudy's Hideaway has been doing lobster right for, believe it or not, since 1970. Locally family-owned lobster house, also known for Alaskan king crab, Iceland salmon, Alaskan halibut, USDA choice hand-cut steaks and award-winning Boston clam chowder. And you know, a lot of restaurants don't give you a complete dinner. When you dine at Rudy's, not only do you get your main course, you get the soup or the salad, the baked potatoes, the fresh vegetables, the sourdough French bread. I mean, it's a rarity, but you get it at Rudy's, and you can also get what, Mark?
What, Mark? You can get the lobster special for just by mentioning the fact you heard it on the Travel Guys.
There you go. It's the Travel Guys special, $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster tail with all the fixings. Rudy, just off Highway 50 at Hazel. All right. Guys, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. All right, Mark, let's talk about Free.
Oh, yeah, Free is really good. These are mentioned on travel blogs from time to time. And this summer, there are more of them than usual. There are 9 different airlines that are offering you the opportunity when you're traveling and you're passing through their hub city to stay over in the hub city and not have to pay any additional airfare costs. Of course, hotels and transportation and things like that are not going to be free, but you can get free stayovers. The cities include some pretty attractive places. For example, you can stay over in Lisbon. You can stay over in Madrid. Some exotic places like Abu Dhabi and Dubai and Doha. Panama City is on the list, Istanbul, Porto, Reykjavik in Iceland. Can you imagine taking a European vacation and making a stayover in Iceland for 3 or 4 or 5 days? You know, summer is is iceberg season.
Yeah.
Iceland is just an amazing country, and what an opportunity to be able to. So we have put a list of all of these, the airlines. These are the cities,
right,
that different airlines are allowing you to stop over in. In some cases, there in Iceland's case, there are 2 airlines from Iceland that will allow you a free stayover. So,
well, before
if you go to Travel Guys, yes, sir.
Before you give us the list here and go on, yeah. I have a question, and that is, what is a stayover? How long from the time that your plane touches down till you got to get out of Dodge?
Excellent question. Excellent. Most of them are for at least a week. Some of them are for as many as 10 days, and there's at least one on here that's open-ended. So you could stay for a month if that's what you wanted to do. But, yes, so a stayover is flying, for example, to Lisbon when your final destination is Paris. So you're on TAP Portugal, and you're flying from a U.S. city to Lisbon, and now you need to connect. Well, now you can stay in Lisbon for a period of time. And the other great thing is that many of these airlines that are allowing these stayovers, Tom, offer discounts on hotel stays, as well as savings on tourist attractions like city tours and admissions to museums, and even discounts in some restaurants. So you might find that not only is there not an increase in airfare, but that you can do something fairly reasonable by using some of the airline's partners. Or what you can do is look at who the airline's partners are and what that costs, and then do your own homework and decide which deal is better for you. But all of the discounts, plus, again, the opportunity to stop over in an international city without incurring any additional airfare charges. I think that's a pretty attractive deal.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. All right. Where and who's flying?
Ah, okay. You know what? Let's not go over all of the airlines here. The cities, again, are Madrid, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Doha, Reykjavik, Istanbul, Panama City, Porto, and Lisbon. So obviously those are all different international carriers, and none of them are U.S. airlines. So this is not United, Delta, American. You have to fly on an international carrier. And to your comment, Tom, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a detailed list of not only each of the cities, but the airline that's offering the deal for that particular city.
That is very cool. I think that's doing good business. That's going to be a real advantage to people that are going to be flying internationally, and giving them an opportunity perhaps to stop and see places that perhaps were not on their original agenda.
And remember, these are just for stayovers, so
right.
You have to be moving on from mm-hmm. that city on your air itinerary. But let's say you could land in Lisbon on Tuesday, and then on Saturday go on to Paris or, you know, wherever your final destination was. So what a great opportunity to steal a little bit. I think it's just a terrific deal from the airlines to, and again, opportunities for discounts on all other kinds of things connected to your trip. Check it out at travelguysradio.com. You can find the entire list.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark is in Newfoundland. I want to go.
There you go.
I just want to go Newfoundland, and I know that's not it. Okay, in Newfoundland, we got a great interview that he hooked up with a gentleman. I'm pretty close, but Mark, you're from quite a ways away.
Newfoundland. It is, I got to just tell you, I've waited a long time to get here, Tom. This is just an amazing, amazing place. We have on the line with us Paul Bouguet. He is the Director of Industry Relations here in St. John's, Newfoundland. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Tom. I'm really happy to be here.
I can't tell you, Paul, I don't know if the smile has come off of my face the whole time that I've been here. This is not an easy place to get to. It was about 9 hours by air from Sacramento in three different segments, and it cost a lot of money, and it was worth every penny. The people here are just amazingly friendly and welcoming. And, you know, for folks who have seen the Broadway musical Come From Away, it talks a little bit in references about the people here and being welcoming, especially on that horrible day back in 2001. But they're like that here all the time. Paul, I give you an opportunity here. Tell us a little bit about Newfoundland and its people.
Well, you know, I love that you've been able to experience that hospitality while you're here. You know, we have been told that we have some of the friendliest people in the world. And I really think it stems from the fact that we've been welcoming people as an island and an old port city for literally thousands of years. When you're here in Newfoundland, people are genuinely happy to see you, and we don't care where you've come from, and we don't care what your background is. We want you to experience us and tell your story and listen to our stories while we're here together experiencing life.
Our special guest is Paul Bouguet. He's the Director of Industry Relations. Well, that's why he knows so much about what's going on there in St. John's and in Newfoundland. Paul, I have to start off. Mark and I were talking before we went on the air here that when he's been to conventions before with his National Tour Association, they've had smaller crowds than they're having there in Newfoundland, which is really, really a long ways away and expensive and hard to get to. And you've indicated that this is a common theme. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Tom, we have a great success and track record when people choose to put their event or their conference here. We end up having so much pre and post visitation, which really benefits the entire community and our tourism partners. But it is a strength that we have stronger than a lot of our competing destinations across Canada, that our length of stay and number of delegates in attendance for conferences like NTA's Contact right now exceeds what any organizer was expecting.
Wow. That's not surprising. This is just such a unique place. I love traveling in Canada anyway, because people all across Canada I find them to be incredibly friendly and welcoming. But Paul, this year has just been something extra special. Paul, if people were thinking about a trip to Newfoundland, I mean, it's an island, but it's a pretty big place. I mean, people are telling me that you need at least a week, and then you won't see it all. You'll have to pick and choose. In a couple of weeks, you could see it all. Is that true?
Oh, yes. You would, if you wanted to see the our entire province, Newfoundland and Labrador, you would really need yourself a good 2 weeks. You could spend a week just here in our capital city in St. John's and just literally have the tip of the iceberg. The people forget our province, Mark, is twice the size of the other Atlantic provinces combined, bigger than the state of Texas and bigger than the country of Japan.
Wow. No wow. Yeah. Paul, tell us, give us, if folks are planning to come here, and give us two or three must-see places. I mean, obviously the capital city of St. John's, where our meetings have been held here, is just wonderful. And I'm going to talk, once you and I are done talking here, I'm going to share some of the places and stuff that we went to and give folks some ideas. But you, as a tourism man, tell our listeners two or three things or places that they really should make a part of a visit to Newfoundland.
Thanks. One of my favorites is Cape Spear National Historic Site, and Cape Spear is home to the most easterly point in North America. It's where we see the first sunrise every day. It's an incredible, incredible, beautiful space for people to go and see and be one with nature. My other second spot, which I think some of you are going to be experiencing this afternoon, is the Kitty Vitty Fishing Village, home to Kitty Vitty Brewery, and that's where they actually make beer from our icebergs that come down and visit us during certain times of the year. And I think
Stop. Hold on, Paul. Wait. They make beer from the icebergs?
You got it. We have they've been doing it now for about 15 years, and the brewery is actually in this fishing village, and they use the water from the icebergs to create this beautiful iceberg beer, and that's exactly what it's called, right. Mark, iceberg beer.
Yeah, you know, beer, it's all about the water.
Exactly. I'm so sorry for interrupting you. We were about to give us the third item on your list there.
The third item, we have a beautiful park here in the center of town. We have many parks, but Bowering Park is the name of our park that's in our center of our city. And it was designed from the same gentleman that designed Central Park in New York. And it's filled with beautiful, beautiful gardens and statues and lakes and ponds and all kinds of recreational activities. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. Paul, we are going to put for our listeners who might think that, you know, you've been all over the planet, but you haven't been to Newfoundland. We are going to put a couple of links online at travelguysradio.com so that you can start dreaming, go down the rabbit hole, and you'll be down there a long time because this is a cool place. Paul, thank you so much for a little bit of your time and your thoughts on your home province here today on the Travel Guys.
Mark and Tom, thank you both for the opportunity to talk about our beautiful province. I've really appreciated it.
Our special guest, Paul Bouguet, Director of Industry Relations, all the way in St. John's, Newfoundland. Really, really cool, Mark.
Yeah, it is really cool. And for those of you who would like to know a little bit more about Newfoundland, after the break, we're going to come back and I'm going to give you some of my observations on some places I ate and where we stayed and some things that you could do if you're visiting Newfoundland sometime in the future, if it's on your wish list. It's one of the great things about this destination, about St. John's, about Newfoundland, is that their English here is a little bit different than what we're used to. They have a lot more sayings. They have incorporated more pieces of European conversation into, so their sayings are, you know, very, very different. We can talk a little bit more about those if we have some time, but go online if you'd like and just put sayings from Newfoundland, and they are all the strangest, most wonderful things. The people here are just a delight. I've never visited a destination where people were so welcoming. And I'll tell you a couple of funny little anecdotes. We had really good weather this week, and in May, really good weather in Newfoundland is mid-50s, maybe upper 50s. People were out dining at sidewalk cafes the other night. It was about 55, 56 degrees, and there was no wind. And the outdoor cafes were doing a very brisk business. So I might suggest that mid-50s was probably about as warm as it had been here so far this year. And we were staying in the city of St. John's, which is the capital. It's on the eastern side of the island. This is a massive, massive island. I mentioned in the opening, Tom, that in size, it's about the size of Texas from east to west and north to south. So imagine that you were went to Texas and you wanted to see the country. Some of Texas, perhaps not as much in demand as other parts of Texas, because some of the spots up around Amarillo and stuff are kind of flat forever. But nonetheless, beautiful forests here, amazing fjords. St. John's is a huge port for arriving merchandise. Of course, they're on an island here, so everything has to come in. The cost of living is a little bit expensive here. But the people are just an amazing delight.
You know, in our interview that we just had earlier with Paul Bouguet, the director of industrial relations, I think he really painted a wonderful picture of what it's like there. And we talked briefly about tourism there. Mark, based on what you've learned, what number of people come and tourism there at St. John's compared to how many people live there?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I don't know that answer was proposed to us during the week. There's about 100,000 in St. John's. This is the largest city in the province. And somebody said that the greater area around St. John's is about 250,000. I don't know if I would stretch it that far, but there's a lot of new housing here. They're having the same problem in this city that they have in other, in for example, San Francisco, Seattle, affordable priced housing for people who live and work there has become an increasing challenge. And in fact, we saw a lot of the homes and stuff here look relatively new. One of the beautiful things here about St. John's, Tom, is they're known for the really colorful houses. They have an area that they call Jelly Bean Row because every house is painted a different bright color. Mm-hmm. And this has more of an aesthetic quality now. But in the old days, they painted the doors a different color. Because sometimes people like to tip a few here in St. John's, and if you were going home at night and you could, it was a lot easier to find your house if you knew it was the one with the red door.
That's great. That is a lot. Makes a lot of sense.
Everybody is just delightfully hospitable here, and you don't feel like. And I've had this feeling in Canada before, and I haven't traveled much in Canada in recent years. And this is a destination I've always wanted to get to, and it didn't disappoint. The people here are just so incredibly friendly. There's a guy down the street with a little shop from the. We stayed at the Sheraton Hotel in St. John's, which, by the way, I would highly recommend. It's probably the best property in town. There's a Hilton Garden Inn. There's a courtyard. There are some other, a few other branded properties, and of course some independent ones in town. I didn't find the hotel pricing to be any more or less expensive here than other Canadian cities. Keep in mind when you look at pricing online. And you see $300 Canadian. Remember, your dollar buys currently $1.35, $1.36. So those prices that you see are going to be discounted easily. You could discount 30% off the price to get to what your U.S. dollar might buy. So when you look at Canadian prices, you may feel they're a little expensive. But that's because the dollar is strong, and right now it buys you a bonus in Canadian currency. I'm wondering what those poor Canadians think when they come south and their dollars are only worth 70 cents.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to tell you about the place at the end of the driveway at the Sheraton Hotel. If you go to St. John's, you have to go to Craig's Cookies. It's just a little tiny cookie shop in town, and I didn't think it was particularly significant until I heard some of the hotel employees talking about it. And then some of the people from our tourism group, there were about 150 of us, went down one night. It's open until 10 o'clock, so some of the folks who were coming back from a little bit of a night of partying and stuff stopped at Craig's Cookies, and by the next day the word was out that this is the place to go. The man bakes cookies based all on his mother's cookie recipes. So it's just a small independent shop, and the flavors change every day. But if you come to St. John's, promise me that you will go there. One of the other cool little places to shop here in town is an area called Quiddy Vidi. Quiddy Vidi. Quiddy Vidi.
Quiddy Vidi.
And when you hear the Newfoundlanders talk and pronounce that, it won't sound anything like what I just said. But it sounds more like Kitty something. But anyway, Quitty Vitty, there's a brewery there and some gift shops and stuff. It's just a little bit north of downtown. That was a great place to visit. The most eastern point on the North American continent is here in Newfoundland, and it's not too far from St. John's. You can drive out. There's a lighthouse and the like. If you like fish, seafood, you're going to love it here, particularly if you like cod, cod and salmon, halibut, three of the fish that are most found in the waters here. Cod is incredibly common. Cod is sort of like hamburger. So you when you come here, if you don't eat seafood, you can still survive. But if you like seafood, you will find here that I found the restaurant prices here in St. John's not to be too much higher than they are in Sacramento. And remember, you're getting that 30% discount. Mm-hmm. So if your dinner is $40 Canadian, you translate that down to $28. They do have a goods and services tax here, which replaces a lot of the other taxes that are found in other countries, and that's about 15%. So that's going to be added on to your bill. But the other refreshing thing is that tip where it's appropriate to tip. There aren't tip jars every place, and people are not asking you for, you know, they're not handing you things with tips on it when it's not appropriate to be tipping.
So no tip tablet?
No, the tablets are still in use, but fortunately the tips didn't start at 20% or 25%. A couple of places that you might want to eat if you're in St. John's, the St. John's Fish Exchange was a wonderful place to eat. Mm-hmm. I will be taking my group there when they come to St. John. Also, there's a lovely place. We didn't get to sample it. We walked past it a couple times. I really wanted to stop there. It was called Fat Bastard Burritos, which seems like kind of a strange name for a place that's so far from any place that has any sort of Latino connection to it. But we didn't get an opportunity to stop there. One thing I want to caution people, you know, we've talked about this before, is the exchange rate. The travel guy himself got caught. We tell people never exchange in an airport because the airport exchange places are paying a concession fee in the airport and you're never going to get a good deal. So exchange your money at a major bank, exchange it before you go, exchange it at an ATM on the streets where you're just paying a standard fee. The travel guy thought that he was much smarter than the exchange booth at the airport and saw an ATM only about 15 or 20 feet away from the exchange booth and thought, wow, this will be a much smarter way to go. Wrong. We were still in the airport. So the exchange rate when I put the money in the ATM and got $200 back cost me just about what it would have cost me to get ripped off at the exchange booth, only about 20 feet away. So I will now add an addendum to my wisdom of exchanging. Don't do it in airports.
Period.
Because you might think that you're going to get a better deal, but maybe not so much. Listen, I want to tell you about a destination that a lady told us about in a seminar here. She was a tourism lady. There's a little tiny town called Conch. It's about 150 people. They have no hotels. They have virtually no tourism infrastructure. This lady decided that she wanted to be able to bring tourists to her town. Mm-hmm. And so what she does is she brings one tourist. If you're a couple, then she will make an exception for two, and she'll bring a family with one child. But that's only three is the maximum number. She would prefer it just to be one. You go, and for an entire week, you are immersed in this little village in Newfoundland. The cost is $6,000 Canadian per person, mm-hmm. Which to me translates to about $4,000 U.S. And I'm thinking, heck, I have Sports Leisure Vacations has tours that last a week that cost $4,000. So the opportunity to be immersed in a city and in a community, I don't know that this would appeal to everyone. You have a little place that you stay for a few days, and they move you to another little place. And she was telling us all about it. The name of the community is Conch. I didn't put a link online. So if this interests you, it's C-O-N-C-H-E, Conch, Newfoundland, And if you look it up and look up staying in Conche, Newfoundland, I'm certain that this will come up. You can be the only tourist in town for an entire week. She takes 17 people over the course of the season. Doesn't that sound cool?
That is amazing. I've never heard anything like that. Do you have to work? They give you jobs like you work at serving at a restaurant, and because you're immersing yourself in the community. I mean, it's obviously an experiential adventure. Is that right?
Yes. Well, it's an opportunity to meet the people and to participate in some of the different things that the people do in town on a regular basis. So you're not going to have to bait the line and go catch the fish. But nonetheless, yeah, this is kind of an immersive experience. And while I've heard of these all over the planet, I've never heard of one that was in a little town like this. It's a couple of 3 hours away, not from complete civilization, but it's out by itself. And I want to shift just real quickly here before we run out of time and just tell folks that if you're coming to Newfoundland, it's a long way. It's not cheap. We now have a nonstop to Toronto, and you can connect out of Toronto to get to Newfoundland, so it's a little easier to get here than it used to be. But it's still not inexpensive. It's a big province, and Labrador is part of their province too, and I didn't even get into that. You can do your homework and check into some of that, but you can, if you come here, you need to allow yourself at least a week, and really and truly 10 days to 2 weeks. It's a big island. Most of the settlements are on the two coasts. There are some provincial airlines here that will get you from one place to another, so you can work out an itinerary and do a little bit of flying and not as much driving. But just make sure you allow yourself plenty of time, because these people here are absolutely amazing. If this isn't on your places to get to before you leave this planet, you really ought to consider putting it there, because it is the perfect combination of Canada and Europe.
All right, well, that wraps up another Travel Guys radio program. Very interesting one. You can find it at TravelGuysRadio.com if you want to hear it again. Mark, final word.
Final word, dance like nobody's watching, and I'll be back in the States for next Saturday's program.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week right here on the Travel Guys.